Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is recorded in Paul's letter to Timothy, the sixth chapter, first letter, verses 6-8. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. These are our words. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord, one cold May morning many years ago after my junior year in college, I woke up between a black man nicknamed Lucifer on one side and on the other side a South African scraggly middle-aged man by the name of Doc on an alley stairway landing in one of the most dangerous sections of Boston in what was then called the combat zone. My blanket was a piece of discarded tin. It was the end of a one-week hitchhiking tour, which was fashionable in those days, and I had gone out east to see art museums. I had visited Washington, I'd gone to New York City, and here I was in Boston. But I'd run out of money. The day before, I had called my mother about wiring money to me through Western Union, but due to circumstances, the closing of Western Union, I couldn't get the money. So here I was, having to find a place to stay. And while I was there on the phone calling my mother, here came this scraggly man by the name of Doc who accosted me, begging for a dime. And I gave it to him. But Doc was a unique street person. He spoke a half dozen languages. He was in his early 40s, but the effects of the wine that he continually imbibed and the outside elements had played havoc so that his face, which was in the 40s, looked like it was in the 50s. Weathery, leathery looking. Bob Dylan's song, Like a Rolling Stone, begins with the line, "Once upon a time you dressed so fine, threw the bum a dime in your prime, didn't you?" And apparently Doc had been a man who threw dimes to people in his prime. He was a charismatic figure, and he was interrupting me for a dime to get off the phone so he could call his nurse friend. I discovered over the course of the evening, because he invited, he says, "Look, I'll find a place for you to stay," that he was a brilliant, veritable encyclopedia, and cops and store owners and the nurse that I ended up talking to verified what he was claiming all along. It wasn't a lie. He was a doctor who had lost his practice because of drugs, and here he was on the street. I watched him as we walked along the street in the most theatrical flim-flam style beg dimes and quarters off the people that he came to. And in a most amazing repartee, humor mixed with sarcasm, it would turn in a minute. Before long, he had enough money to go and make it down to the local wine store where he got some Mad Dog 2020, as he called it, some wine, and he ended up drinking that. And by mid-morning the next day, had my money, a bus ticket, and I was on my way home. And the last thing I remember was Doc angry, cursing, throwing the wine bottle onto the tennis court where it shattered into 100 pieces right between two people who were playing tennis. Luther one time wrote that we are all beggars. And for one night in Boston, I was a beggar. I slept under a tin blanket, which a black stranger had thoughtfully given to me because I was chilly, to keep me warm. And I lived on money that Doc begged to buy us a meal at the local soup kitchen. I was a bum, living off of food and clothing from bums. Neither Doc, and not surprisingly Luther, however, acted as if God had anything to do with their lives. He had apparently been written off a long time before that. They were content like scavenger crows to eke out their existence every day and to work their way through. You know, when Paul wrote the words of our text, he had another kind of an attitude in mind. And most of us are more tempted by this one. Although it seems that Doc had found himself with a lot of money and he had been in the kind of situation where he could buy whatever he wanted to. And that, in fact, had led to his own destruction. But Paul was writing against the attitude that all of us, perhaps like him, are faced with. And we've been talking about it this week. The preachers on Monday and Wednesday, Tuesday reminded us about contentment as our theme for the day, to be satisfied. These words that we just read were framed before this set that followed them. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and in their greediness pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's more than one path to experiencing the sorrows of sin. Doc and Lucifer, I'm sure, discovered sorrow. But Paul warns us here to stay away from all those other paths that lead to sorrow, particularly the one that is about riches and coveting those things that are in the world so freely and available. He's warning us not to set our priorities on wealth and on this illusory pull of money. We came into this world kicking, naked, and we shall leave it the same way, motionless in the funeral parlor before the mortician dresses us with the last set of clothing that we shall wear before our loved ones say goodbye to us. These words are a call to all of us to repent and a reminder of our priorities as believers, to realize that we are indeed wealthy and richly blessed above all measure in what God the Father has given us in His Son, Jesus Christ, as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And we are all sinners, worse than any beggar on the street, equal to any beggar on the street. We are thankful to God for what the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts by the preached word, and what, through the mutual consolation of brethren, we have that wonderful gift of faith in Christ. We know how the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world can tempt us to greed and anxiety. We know that we are continually tempted to take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, the one who provides for all of our needs. Paul this morning wants to remind us that while there are the street people who live on the street and beg, there are the other set of beggars who walk the street giving them the dimes, and that's us. We are all beggars, as Luther reminds us. We depend upon our Lord for all things, especially His grace and His mercy and the forgiveness that He freely gives to all of us, no matter what our sins may have been, are, and will be. Jesus died upon the cross for all sinners. And in being like beggars, we are also like the birds that in some amazing way get through Minnesota winters. The winds will blow and the snow will deepen, and there God will use the wind to blow a feast of seeds upon the snow, and somehow next spring they will be here. The rain will turn to ice, but the sparrows will live through it because they are content to depend upon the love of the Father who feeds them. May we maintain the attitude of beggars and birds, being content with the riches, the treasures of the gospel that God has given us, feeding upon it, because we are neither beggars nor birds, but rather we are kings, feasting upon the promises of forgiveness, grace, given to us all through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.